Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to our Red Tent Radio. We believe every woman has a story, and our mission is for every woman's story to be heard. And right now I'm on the show with Grace, with Graceful Empowerment, and she is a Reiki master and Yoni Empowerment Coach, a Pussy Empowerment Coach, and Grace is a phenomenal communicator and speaker and wisdom keeper for women's empowerment and their connection to their womb. And I'm really happy to have her on the show. Today we're going to talk about our stories of how we got to where we are and our journeys and a lot of issues that women go through today that we've overcome and our thoughts on it. So, hi, Grace.
Hey, Aurora. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm excited.
Yay. Thank you. So, we were talking a little bit before the show, and we started out just talking about what's going on with both of us right now. And I actually invited you on the show because we had a conversation once about our bodies and past eating disorders, and both Grace and I had issues with eating, and I myself had body dysmorphic disorder and an eating disorder for many years. And it is interesting. What makes it interesting is, besides the fact that, like, you know, our journey of healing that, is that Grace and I both healed that through our work in women's empowerment and Yoni and Pussy empowerment and reconnecting to our womb and to our expression and really owning ourselves as women. And Grace and I were talking about the power of being women. And I was also saying to her that this morning I was on the phone with a man, and he was talking about his penis, his lingam, his cock. He was talking about his cock, and I was talking about my yoni and my pussy. And it occurred to me, because we were talking about the differences between being men and women, and I realized, wow, if I was a man, I wouldn't have had that eating disorder. If I was a man, I wouldn't have my sexual trauma. If I was a man, I wouldn't have this pressure and suppression around my expression, around me speaking about sexuality. If I was a man, I wouldn't be, I was telling Grace that I'm healing some stomach ailments right now that are still, I'm still dealing with after having an eating disorder for so many years, and I haven't had an eating disorder for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, 4 years, 5 years, I get a little confused, but the point being is that I still have stomach problems from it. And I was just like, wow, all these things that I'm healing because I was raised a woman in this period of time. And at the same time, all of my work with women's empowerment is how women were viewed so many years ago in ancient times and also in other cultures today, in which we don't have these sorts of suppressive mentalities, a way in which woman's power is really honored. And her body is honored in all its shapes and sizes, and her expression is honored, and her sexuality is honored, and how claiming it back has healed us. So with that whole big introduction, I would love Grace to share some of her feelings and thoughts on things that I just said.
So the eating disorder thing is actually something I rarely talk about. This is the first time I'm really talking about eating disorders. You know, even this, despite the fact that I went through a 10-year eating disorder with my bulimia, anorexia, and I was addicted to working out for, you know, a brief period of time, which was about 1 to 2 years during that whole 10-year phase. And what really healed me without even trying, with no effort at all, this is how you know, you're coming into alignment, is when it really takes no effort to manifest those things that make you more empowered and make you who you are. It's a natural energy that surges through you because you're already in accordance to, you know, who you are. You're getting closer to really breathing, feeling, and walking as who you really are, you know. So when I started coming into my path of who I really am, I met my partner. He's been my partner for, you know, going on 5 years now, 4.5. And, you know, after about maybe 3 months of really intense meditation, prayer, ritual, chanting, you know, making love perfumes to really put on my body and really attract this grandmaster I wanted to be my life partner. I finally met him on the first day of a fast that I did. And, you know, so, and believe it or not, you know, being a bulimic, it's actually not easy to fast. Like I just had to say that because you would think like, oh, okay, she's fasting, you know, from food. And believe it or not, that actually wasn't easy for me, at least as a bulimic, when I was a bulimic back then. So I did this fast and I was really intending to just clean my body out as much as possible, be as light as possible so I can attract, so my vibration can be really high and I can attract this individual who I was really ready to just start my life with. So I was 22 at the time. So when I met him, the way that we even met was just so symbolic of, you know, this is the path for you, Grace. Like everything was pointing me and saying, this is the path for you, Grace. It's okay. You can trust this individual. I mean, if I go into every single symbolic cue, it would just take the whole call, you know, but pretty much I trusted all those cues. And I ended up just totally surrendering sexually, you know, intimately, emotionally, spiritually, every single realm that I possibly could. You know, I felt so much comfort in the fact that there was so much familiarity with this man. There was so much presence. He was so open to me and receptive to me as well, that I ended up just surrendering completely and giving him really access to my soul, you know, direct access to my soul. And through that, I started practicing something called Tantra with him, which allowed me to explore my orgasmic ability, you know, my orgasmic capacity. And even though that's kind of like an oxymoron, because orgasm really has no capacity at all, but for lack of a better term, I really was able to touch base with what orgasm really is. And I started doing something called yoni breathing at the same time. You know, so when I wasn't with him and having full-blown, you know, orgasmic experiences, which was effortless because there was so much allowing of this other energy to really enter my energy and combine. And now these two energies are that much more powerful and magnetic and juicy and, you know, at one in unity, that when I would do my yoni breathing outside of, you know, being physically present with him, it, you know, the yoni breathing, which is, you know, you can call it vaginal breathing. It's a tantric technique. And you can go to YouTube. You can find lots of yoni breathing videos there. I suggest every woman try this, because that was how I really healed my eating disorder. That was how I healed without, again, even trying. My objective at the time when I was doing my yoni breathing and having these extremely, you know, I call it orgasmic enlightenment, you know, because it was literally orgasmically enlightening every single time we would unite, you know, me and my partner. And so my objective at the time was not to heal my eating disorder. It was just to circulate and really feel more of this vitality run through my body, you know. And when I came to really study Tantra on a more in-depth, even academic level, I learned that it's, you know, sexuality, sexual energy is all about enhancing the frequency of our vitality, you know. So, again, without me even trying, it was like, I'm going to quote Nicole Daydon. Nicole Daydon calls it the ripe fruit that just falls off the tree, you know. So the fruit for me was the bulimia. And without me trying, it came to its ripest point, and it was ready to just fall off my branches, you know. And so
that's such an amazing story. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my story. It can be anyone's story. And one thing I do want to say, you know, is that it's really sad that every single time I'm, you know, women who are listening who've been to, you know, therapy classes, who've had eating disorders, the one thing I remember that they always told me was Now, you know that this is going to be a lifetime issue, and you're just going to have to find coping mechanisms, ways of really trying to cope with this. So they basically project that it is a lifetime issue, and it really is not. Aurora and I are examples of that. So, Aurora.
Oh, my gosh, there's so much to say about that in the way that, okay, well, I'm going to take one little thought blurb at a time. So one would be you breathing from your yoni. So our yoni is, you know, you are bringing in more life force into your body. You connecting to your body, you connecting to your sexual life force, you connecting to that feminine spirit helped you heal your eating disorder. You know what I mean? It's so interesting because I guess the point is that in this society, women and men are disconnected from their bodies. We are trained, you know, to act and work like machines, completely devoid of this pleasure source. And you bringing your life force back brought you back to your body and brought you back to your happiness and your pleasure. And you didn't need to self-medicate by, like, cutting yourself, by inflicting pain to heal the pain, if that makes sense. And so there are... it's bringing us back to pleasure, and that's interesting. How I healed my eating disorder, I had a whole lot of things that did, but a part of it was, I mean, here you are, you're a very expressive person. Not only did you come back to your yoni pleasure and your life force essence, and you're connecting to your body, but you spoke about it clearly, and you came back into your woman empowerment. I too speak, and I too connected to my sexuality. But the way that I healed my eating disorder was seeing the food as pleasure, and I came back to pleasure. It was no longer that this food source was the enemy. I chose to trust Gaia, the earth. I chose to believe that my body is sacred. I chose to not shame my emotions, and I chose to say these emotions coming up, and I'm really going to feel them, and I'm going to express them, and I'm... if I choose to eat, you know, an apple or something from the earth or whatever food, like, I'm going to allow it to nurture my body, just like lovemaking is here to nurture my body. The war. I just decided to stop the war and brought us back to pleasure. So pleasure, life force. It reminds me of the fact that when I had my eating disorder, and you could say this is related, but I think it's related in the fact that before I started Red Tents, and most of the women and men on this call know that I host Red Tents every month, I did not have a menstrual period. So not only did I have an eating disorder, but I didn't have a menstrual flow. And I started the Red Tents to reconnect my blood flow to the rhythms of the moon. And they say that when we all come together in the Red Tent, it will start to trigger a blood flow. And it did. I now am regularly having my blood flow. But the big correlation is that I got back on path. I got my life force back. I got my life force back, and I could eat food. I got my life force back, and I bled. You know what I mean? And what we're dealing with is a disconnection from our body that is from a dead society. And here we are, and like the radicalness of someone like me and Grace is not that we're radical, it's that we're alive, and that's radical. You know what I mean? Like, here we are. We're alive. We're sexual. We're vocal about it. We are expressive. We are wild. We are free. We are naked. You know, which is funny. Something I know about Grace and I is that we both are known on Facebook for posting nude photos for empowerment, which can, like, make people who aren't from our paradigm or our world twitch around, like, how is that empowering? And part of coming back to life force is about embracing your body and coming back from the dead and no longer trying to fit into these boxes that can start suppressing us. And that to be the type of woman who loves her pussygasms and loves to be naked and loves to express herself, that's when you no longer are saying, like, oh, man, if I had a cock, you know, I wouldn't have been sexually abused or had an eating disorder, you start being like, wow, I fucking have a woman's body, and it's amazing, and I'm so grateful. So thank you.
Yeah, you hit on a lot of points. The menstrual cycle seems to be an issue for women who have a chronic eating disorder. That was my issue, too. I would have lapses of period cycles as well. And that happened mostly when I was anorexic. I was predominantly, you know, again, I don't really like to even put labels on it, but I would purge, you know. So I was still getting, you know, minimal nutrients. But when I would just flat out stop eating, my period would not show up either. So I think that we should definitely talk about that. So the period, if you guys don't know, you know, the period, at least in our society, in our culture, is really deemed upon as a drag. You know what I mean? It's a drag to have a period. Oh, man, you're bleeding. You know, stay home. You know what I mean? It's almost like, we don't want to have anything to do with you. You're on your period. You're not in your right senses. And you're going to, if anything, affect, you know, society, stay home, or if anything, push through because your period is irrelevant and you should still be able to perform at the highest optimal, you know, physical force level. And despite the fact that you're bleeding from your vagina and, you know, that is, that there's lots of misconceptions. And we're going to clear them up. So, number one, the period is the same serum that would be made to create another human being, to feed another human being, and to sustain the life of this human being for 9 months. So it's pretty much it's your embryonic fluid, and it is in Chinese medicine and Taoism and lots of Eastern practices, they just call it life force energy. So when you're bleeding, it's a time when you're actually at your highest life force energy. It's that you are representing the flow and the circulation of life force energy. So it is not a drag at all. If anything, it is a time to really do more practices. And Aurora and I, you know, that's what we do. We show you how to cultivate your period cycle, your menstrual cycle, with certain practices that will help you to really take advantage of the beauty and the purpose, you know, the gifts that come out of being a woman and being, you know, menstruating, okay? So the menstrual cycle, when you stop bleeding, if you have an eating disorder and you've experienced this, it is a sign that the life force energy is not flowing, you know, and there are things inhibiting it, you know, and you're going to have to go within and really figure out what that is particularly for you. But in general, it's a time to celebrate, and it's actually the marking of your womanhood. It's showing you that you are fertile, you are vital, you are healthy, you are strong, you're bleeding. Now, sometimes, there's another side of the spectrum. You can bleed too much. That's part of it, too. You can overly bleed, you know, and that was my issue as well. Even when I was bulimic, you know, I would have times where I would have no period, and then when I did have a period, I was bleeding for like a week and a half, you know, and it was tumultuous. So there's a lot to be said about that as well. So when you're releasing your life force energy excessively, I mean, it's common sense, you know, you're releasing your life force energy excessively. So you want to, again, you know, Aurora, myself, there's lots of books out there, references that we can give you if you email us, go to our website. I'm sure that we'll have time to give you that information at the end of the program. But so there's lots of ways to counterbalance excessive bleeding and no bleeding. There's lots of ways. Do you want to touch upon any of them, Aurora?
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting because I can already feel that you and I have different philosophies and spectrums in which we work. And I know, are you more connected to a lot of the Taoist practices?
I'm connected to the practices that really cultivate life force circulation. I'm all about circulation. The yoni eggs represent circulation. The yoni breathing represents circulation. That's my paradigm. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to hear more about that, and absolutely in talking about the yoni eggs and the strengthening of the yoni in that space. A lot of my work is actually very old world spirituality and pagan practices related to goddess culture, in which the rituals that we would do to honor our menstrual blood is sacred, and just the ritual practices and the recognizing that our moon blood is connected to all cycles and rhythms, that it is connected to the phases of the moon, that because, just as you said, our yoni blood, our blood is filled with stem cells and life force essence, that it is potent, and that in ancient cultures and goddess cultures, you would give that blood back to the earth because it's so filled with life force. They say, as mm-hmm. earth feeds us, so we feed her. And in that, mm-hmm. a woman will go and do ritual with her blood and will pray to the earth and pray to her body because she is the earth. It is her body. And take that time to connect with herself. Even though your blood time is full of that life force, it's your shed. It is what you're shedding this month, this year, whatever it is that you're letting go of. And it's a time of inner reflection. So I know that, Grace, that you're connected to a lot of the physical elements and that energetic elements and how we can strengthen and nurture. A lot of what I'm connected to is the spiritual, symbolic essence of understanding the mythical nature of our blood and why it's so powerful and how, when we connect to that, that can heal.
Can you describe some of those symbolic and spiritual representations? You mentioned the moon cycle. Do you mind going into that?
Sure. More than just the fact that when we bleed, we give that to the earth, but in general, they say that women, our wombs are connected to the moon and its phases. The moon goes through light and dark phases, and women will bleed sometimes on the new moon. They'll bleed on the full moon. They'll bleed at different phases of the moon. And there's all this mythology around why women bleed when they bleed. And I actually have on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, our Red 10th YouTube channel, I have a 10-minute video that talks about why we bleed when we bleed and what moon, because there's a full spectrum of why we do that. Now, in the myths, the reason we bleed on a certain moon is because all wombs are connected, and our wombs are literally connected to the astrological system. And through being connected to the astrological system, it's like women are connected to everything. We're connected to every other woman's womb. That's why when women spend a lot of time together, they'll start to bleed together. And in being connected to all systems, we receive a lot of intuitive information. We receive a lot of information. We are connected to all cycles of light and dark. We are connected to the emotions of not just ourselves, but to the everything. And when we bleed, we are bleeding the everything out. We are bleeding for ourselves. We are shedding for ourselves, and we are shedding for the collective. And so women learn that their PMS time is that sort of, like, if you do have it, you know, that crankiness, of course, there's ways that you can help it and heal it, but I'm just saying that crankiness isn't something wrong with you. It's just the fact that you're feeling the everything, and it's breaking down inside of you. You're breaking down those veils of holding everything. And the truth of the matter is that life outside is messy, and life inside is messy. So you're feeling that. It's like giving birth to your shed. And then you shed. And you shed everything that no longer serves you and the world, and you come back to ritual for yourself. And every month, it becomes a purging and a clearing. In the Red 10th, the women come together for so many reasons, but one of them is shed the old, claim the new. And when you're mm-hmm. consistently shedding the old and claiming the new in ritual marked by your blood, it creates rapid transformation. And you recognize that you as a woman are immensely powerful because of your blood flow and because of the amount that you feel and because of the information you're gaining just because you have a womb.
Mm. Beautiful. So something that we talked about before we even got on the call was the power of being a woman and the beauty of being a woman in as opposed to being a man, you know. And we love men. I love men. I adore men. But I am so grateful for being a woman. And that's one of the reasons right there. I mean, you summed it up so poetically, you know, and so tenaciously was having a menstrual cycle and really, you know, the beauty, you know, at least my personal relationship to my menstrual cycle is every single time I menstruate, first of all, I use something called a Diva Cup, and it actually helps. It's a little cup that you insert inside of your yoni canal, your vaginal canal, and it actually, you know, because it's a cup, you just basically take it out, and it's like you have a cup of your blood, and you can see, you know, what's going on with your blood in a concept that really just, you know, I don't even remember how this came together for me, but it was the accumulation of all of these practices and studies and everything is how our menstrual blood, you know, really represents who we are, you know, and depending on how we bleed and like you said, Aurora, how much and all of that is really representative of who we are, you know. So one thing that we talk about in all the phone sessions that I do, you know, when women purchase something called a yoni egg for me, I give them a phone session and we talk about the menstrual cycle, you know, very much in depth, because something that happens when you start using this yoni crystal, it's a crystal, it's a yoni egg that's a crystal. And when you start using this earth crust inside of your yoni, my personal theory is you're that much more connected to the earth itself, you know what I mean? And so the menstrual cycle can fluctuate, and so I do the calls with these women to really kind of prepare them for that and so many other things. But pretty much when you have this blood in this cup, you can see, you know, do I have more clots? Is it really dark? Is it dark brown? Is it bright red? Does it have an odor? You know what I mean? Maybe it's a lot of blood. You know, maybe sometimes it's not a lot of blood. You know, you can really get that much more in-depth, you know, information about who you are. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can literally smell it. And you are so acquainted with your life force energy and who you are. And that's something that's been very empowering for myself. And I really suggest all women get the Diva Cup. You know, there's so many different kinds. Some of them aren't called a Diva Cup, but this little cup to help you see where you are with your cycle and what improvements you can make. And you may not even know what improvements mean in relationship to your cycle, but that's why, you know, people like Aurora and myself are here. And there's so many other women. There's so many books out there that can help guide you on what that would mean. But, your cycle is your stamp of your womanhood and your fertility and your vitality. It's something to be honored. So every single time we have a feeling of despair about our cycle, it literally goes into the cycle. And then we wonder why we bleed so much and it's so painful. You know, that's a reflection, once again, of who we are. You know, it's such a painful cycle because there may be so much resentment, so much hate stored in that area that is now coming out, and it's really calling you. It's like a crying baby that's just crying. You know, the pain is so loud, and it's really trying to get your attention to focus more on this area, you know, so mm-hmm. and really heal it. So, yeah.
Wow. No, my head just went to, you know, it's interesting because we went from talking a little bit about the body and then sexual life force and healing and then the blood. So I think of, you know, creation and destruction energy, the blood being, let's say, the shed, the destruction energy and the sexuality, that creation energy. And my point is that, you know, when you disconnect from your sexual life force, and that's your spirit energy, that's your path, that's your expression, your blood is affected, you know, that downward flow too, and all of that. These are just all expressions of life. And so let's go now, like, it makes sense, I guess. My point is why, when we talk about the yoni, we're talking about more than just the yoni in the womb. We're talking about how are you in connection to your life and to your life force essence, and how is it related, how is it affecting your sexual expression? How is it affecting your blood flow? How is it affecting your body? How is it affecting your eating? How is it affecting your life image? And that's why it's huge, the work that we're doing. It's not just like, hey, let me show you how to have a good orgasm. You know what I mean? Like, let me show you about, you know, why blood is sacred. It's so much more than that. So back to sexuality, Grace, I know that you are an expert in sexual energy cultivation and bringing life force to women through some of these practices. What are some of the practices that you've done that were the most profound for you? Yoni breathing was one of them that you spoke about.
Yoni breathing, hands down, was my gateway into the most powerful gateway I've ever experienced in terms of really connecting me to my sacred sexuality and that orgasmic element. You know, orgasm is all about health, wellness, connection, and sensual, sexual, erotic bliss. You know, it's a really powerful energy. And then after I was pretty strong with my yoni breathing, I was doing it every day. I was orgasming with one breath, just inhaling, gripping my muscles really, really tight, holding the breath, exhaling, and really letting out a powerful, strong, musical moan. Just doing that repetitively really helped me to create a reservoir of life force energy in my womb, because I was inhaling so deeply and so slowly and really giving thanks to every breath. I mean, really up in the practice of yoni breathing. That once I was yoni breathing, I found something called yoni eggs, you know, and I found this through lots of historical, you know, teachers. Montauk Chia, Wayne Chandler is another one. The yoni eggs have been going on for really thousands of years. They initiated with something called the jade egg. And the jade egg is pretty much just one of many yoni eggs, but it's the most popular one because it's like, it's comparable to like a superfood. It's like a super element, you know? And so started using the jade egg. And I mean, that just picked it up like exponentially. My vaginal muscles got so much stronger. The yoni egg is pretty much a vaginal weight. So you put it inside of your yoni, and just the muscles alone help to really hold the egg in a way that builds more muscle strength, builds more muscle texture, because, you know, there's lots of ways for women to have atrophied yonis. We don't even think that our yoni may be atrophying, but that's actually very common, especially if you're taking birth control. You know, I have an article on my website, you know, talks all about birth control and the atrophied effect that it has on a woman's yoni. And, you know, just sitting a lot, you know, suffocating the yoni, it begins to atrophy. You start feeling less. If you're feeling less, I mean substantially less, then that's an indication that it's really to your benefit to start circulating the energy in your yoni. And again, number one, we talked about yoni breathing. And number two, you can use something called yoni eggs. Now, it's really important. There's lots of people out there who distribute yoni eggs. It's very important that we know the history of where our egg came from and know that it is totally safe. It has been taken care of. It's been analyzed. It's been inspected. It's been certified to an extent that it's safe to put inside your body. Just like eating food, you know, you need to know that these stones are safe, because the standard crystal, you know, engineering process of these stones is not a holistic way of producing stones. You know, lots of ashes and toxins that are used to cut and shape your stone and polish them. And it can actually be fatal if you use the wrong stone. So I have to say that, because that's an epidemic that's going on in the yoni egg community right now.
Thank you for saying that, actually. I don't mean to interrupt you, but actually my friend just said the other day that she was going to pick up a bunch of yoni eggs from a market mineral store that she could get for, like, you know, $5 a piece or less than that. I was like, oh, well, maybe or a few bucks a piece. I was like, oh, maybe you should look into, like, the safety of that, just in case, because I've heard that you should probably be clear on the quality of the egg.
Oh, definitely. Oh, hands down. It's the same thing as, you know, you can go to the corner store and get a, you know, mac and cheese. You can also go to the other corner store and get a higher quality lunch than, and you may not even be attracted to what the mac and cheese was, because now you have a more substantial menu of higher quality, delicious food. You know, and it just throws
but
out
if,
the mac
if
and
she,
cheese.
If she got a stone from a Market Minerals store, what are some of the effects that could happen in her yoni? Would she start getting yeast infections? Would she get, like, what are things that could happen?
So I've heard a lot that women get yeast infections. It's been probably the number one complaint that I've heard regarding yoni eggs that are counterfeit. And it's hard to tell. You know, I'm really grateful that this is becoming a paradigm that is really exploding, and there's so much awareness going on, and we're just building upon just the concept of using a crystal in our yoni. We're actually building more knowledge and we're building more wisdom into this. So I'm really grateful that we are just kind of getting excited and just desiring to get any egg and put it inside. You know, that's a beautiful motivation and ambition. However, like you said, it's very important to be clear on the quality. It's going to make or break your experience. You know, so for example, some women who I've heard who use counterfeit eggs, whether they were really the egg that they were sold, you know, like a jade, amethyst, there's tiger's eye, clear quartz, you know, they can all have certain ailments associated to the production of the egg that can really affect your body. So number one, you know, jade. 95% of jade out there is not jade. Sometimes they make it into a quartz, dilute it with something called luster. I've seen this actually a couple times. The first time I saw this, a handful of women came to me and said that this particular egg produced yeast infections in them, you know, a couple of days in the practice. And you want to be aware of that, because that's a strong indication that the egg is not okay. Sometimes we use the excuse and we say, oh, well, it's just taking things out of me. But even if that's true, you want to, again, make sure that it's not the egg and that you are indeed detoxing, but not because the egg is producing this. Number two, amethyst. This was a personal issue I had with my manufacturers. Lots of clarity enhancements, radiation. When it comes to amethyst, to make it more purple, the radiation makes it more purple. Obviously, inducing a stone with radiation and putting it in your womb is going to expose you to that radioactive frequency as well. Who knows what effects that could have on you? We don't know. I intentionally did not distribute these eggs, so I don't know the effects that it can have. All I know is that, you know, I didn't sell them. And, you know, clear quartz. I had another personal issue with clear quartz. You would think that these are some stones that are safe, that you can look at them, they're shiny, they're like, hey, this is pure rock, what's wrong, you know? The way that they're manufactured is really usually the issue. The issue is how they're manufactured. So with clear quartz, and this could be for any stone, but particularly for myself, I learned that my clear quartz manufacturer, the way that they, when we were talking and negotiating about how to make the egg, the dimensions and all this, he came out and said, well, you know that we use certain oxides and acids to cut the stone. And I said, no, I didn't know that. That's a problem. And he said, oh, okay, well, you know, what do you suggest? And then I asked him, we talked about it some more for a couple of days. And then he just decided to have his team hand carve them. You know, it took a lot more labor. It took a lot more money. But it was worth it because, of course, you know, he even told me, he said, hey, if you're going to be giving these eggs to women to put inside their yoni, if I had a yoni, I wouldn't even do it because I know how they're manufactured. I wouldn't even do it. And that was very nice of him to say, you know. He could have lost me as a client, but he didn't, you know. And so I trust him still, and he manufactures some of my stones. And then I have so many stories. One of the gemologists I was talking to who inspects the stones that we distribute informed me that one of the more popular yoni stones, Tiger's Eye, naturally has asbestos in it, which is lead, very toxic to the body, of course. If you don't know, just look up asbestos cases, and you'll see that all kinds of mental impairments can happen when you have lead in your body. And then, you know, side notes, you know, other stones. I heard this through a friend who told me through another friend. But, you know, some stones naturally have chemicals in them that when you put them in water, you know, they can rust. If you put that inside of your yoni, in your water, of course, it can rust inside of you. That's obviously an extremely toxic situation if you have these types of stones. You want to stick, this is my advice for all women who are new to the yoni egg paradigm. You want to stick to a very small family of yoni eggs that you know are totally okay. The issue that I'm seeing is that a lot of women are getting so excited at just the aesthetics of the egg. It just looks so beautiful. It's just so pretty. It's pink. It's purple. Let me just use it. I have no idea what it's for. Now, the issue is that they start getting into these species of stones that are really unknown in terms of their mineral content, and you don't know if they may naturally, just like the tiger's eye, may have certain minerals in them that are not compatible with your body. We talked about lead, aluminum, chromium. I mean, I can go on and on about natural minerals that would not be good to use inside your body. Mercury, for example. I mean, we could keep on going. But, you know, you want to be extremely careful with this. And, you know, I teach women how to sell yoni eggs. So that's another thing that we do. If you're interested in learning how to do this so you can sell them yourself, I actually have courses to teach women how to become yoni egg distributors. So,
beautiful.
You know,
thank you so much.
Yeah, you can go to the website. GracefulEmpowerment.com. Mm-hmm. All this information is there, and then some.
Thank you so much, Grace. I really appreciate that, and I think that's so much information that a lot of women will use, and hopefully they'll reach out to you for more information about the yoni eggs. And I really see, because I'm going back to the eating disorder. I'm going back to it because I see the eating disorder as being a disconnect in our connection to ourself and a disconnect to our connection to our life force and a disconnect to our passions. And I see how you connecting to the yoni breathing and to the yoni eggs and to this woman's empowerment sexuality revitalized you. And the same thing goes for all these other women out there who are suffering. There's a disconnect from life force. So I appreciate that. And I see that. And I feel, you also spoke about birth control, and it's interesting, you said it for 2 seconds. My head said, let's talk about birth control, because I feel that you might have some information on that. I have on my end, when women ask me about, like, you know, what do you think about IUDs? What do you think about birth control pills? I tend to be an educator on the spiritual and energetic sides of things. So I'd love to hear your thoughts, because you were saying that birth control pills can atrophy the yoni.
So before I even get into birth control pills, I really want to start out saying that it is not the woman's responsibility to not get pregnant. It is a mutual responsibility. It is not only on the woman, and the woman should not have the detriment of affecting and atrophying, hindering her body toxically with all these synthetic compounds and pharmaceuticals to stop her blood flow. That is backwards. It is really a sick concept, you know, that we have to retard the woman's cycle. We have to literally stop it and shut it down. Something, like we said, a life force cycle. We're stopping it. We're stopping her life force from cycling so she doesn't get pregnant. It is literally retarded. And it really, and I really get angry, actually. You know, I have to control, I have to really poise myself, Aurora, because this is a really a sensitive subject for me. I've never really taken birth control. I've taken the, Plan B, you know, maybe like twice. And even then I was really disturbed at taking it. But, you know, it is really a man's effort as well. If he needs to be very much in control of his ejaculation. He does not have the right, because we take things like birth control, IUDs, whatever form you take, it actually enables the man to be that much more loose and, you know, undisciplined and disrespectful of how he ejaculates. It allows him, it gives him the permission to ejaculate whenever he wants. And that is not
what
the power is.
Well, it's interesting. That's a really interesting point in the even just like whether it's conscious or subconscious, the fact that if a woman is disconnected from her body and is taking these medicines to further disconnect herself from her body, right, so that she can't even get pregnant, that disconnect is going to be felt from the man. The man then, whether conscious or subconscious, is just going to use her body as a tool, right? I mean, and here we are, like, on so many different levels and so many different, like, continuing this gnarly paradigm of, well, I'm getting text messages, I apologize, this gnarly paradigm of women not owning their womb and men not knowing how to react with women not owning their womb. And so this is not like a bashing on either side. It's more of like, wow, like, let's wake up. There are other things that we can do to protect ourselves from pregnancy, and it doesn't mean that you have to create such disconnection and disrespect of the body. You never have to do that. So thank you for that.
Definitely. Yeah, disconnection breeds disconnection, definitely. Women disconnecting through pills, the man's disconnecting from his lingam, and he's becoming very undisciplined. And we have epidemics like prostate cancer. Prostate, this major endocrine gland in a man that secretes his semen, produces semen, and it's becoming so weakened because men have absolutely no control over their ejaculation. So everyone go to YouTube. There's a video there. It's called Sperm Retention. I made it, Graceful Empowerment, Sperm Retention. You'll find it. Lingam breathing, helping to strengthen that prostate gland. Very important. But just to really answer your question, Aurora, birth control pills, specifically the pills, they have something called, they have certain, you know, precursors that will shut down the testosterone production in a woman. And you would say, hey, you know, so what? Testosterone, not really a female hormone. It is, actually. Not very well identified as a female hormone, but it's what gives the girth, the texture, and the muscle to the yoni. Okay, so when that shuts down, the yoni starts withering away. There's really nothing to sustain a strong yoni, because what's making it strong is now being shut down. I have, again, an article on this at gracefulempowerment.com. You can go there and read about it more in depth. But pretty much, you know, testosterone is also in charge of the blood flow, the actual force and the flow of the blood going to the genitalia. And that is pretty much how you feel sexually aroused, your libido, sexual desire. It's all about that circulation and flow of the life force energy, which, again, is the blood. So inhibiting that, is going to, you know, whenever I think about a woman who shuts her period down, it's like stopping the moon from orbiting the earth, you know. And I'd like to look at the basics, because the period is really symbolic of a 28-day cycle. When I say her, I'm talking about the moon, you know. Her and I share the same cycle. We're on the same accord. We're sisters. We're in one. So when I shut my cycle down, I'm disconnected from her. I'm disconnected from all the other women. My own cycle doesn't even, my own body doesn't even know how to act, because my cycle, which what makes me a woman, has now been stopped, you know? So I'm, again, like you said, Aurora, disconnected, just totally disconnected. And lots of books that talk about this. Shakti Woman is one of them. Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom is another one.
Mm-hmm.
The hormones.
And it's so interesting that we're talking about birth control pills, and you go right back to, you know, stopping the blood, because, you know, that the creation, destruction, and it's like it's all one. It's all life force, and it's stopping the blood. It's stopping the ability to get pregnant. And here all these women are like, yay, I have control over my body. And it's just like, what? You know, it's not a – you're shutting down your body. You're shutting down your connection to spirit and to life force. For what? Because you know, you have not learned other methods of supporting yourself against pregnancy. There are so many other methods that we can use. And I'm not even talking about barrier methods, which are, you know, obviously options, but there are, I mean, let alone women understanding how to chart their cycles and their rhythms. There are periods of time within a woman's cycle in which she's able to conceive. And I think that 95% of women are unaware of how to chart their cycles. You have no idea because we're in a disconnect mode. Yes, women can get pregnant while charting their cycles. However, it's just very important for women to understand. It is much less likely if they're charting. And really, I mean, there are periods of times when you can conceive and when you cannot. And for women to understand, like, hey, here's fertile fluid. This is what is not fertile. Like connecting to our body. Here we are, say, like, stick your finger up your vaginal canal, feel the texture of your fluid so that you can know, you know, are you fertile, are you not fertile? Notice where your cervix is at. And we're coming from a world and a paradigm in which women are terrified to look at their vaginas. So this is kind of the opposite spectrum of where you and I are at, Grace. But I do know that there is a very large amount of women out there who are just like, I'm sorry, I can't go down there. I'd rather just disconnect. Can you imagine what their lovemaking is like? It starts like crushing my soul, right? When you think about a woman.
That's the thing, Aurora, is that a lot of women are not even making love. There's actually a lot of celibacy out there, believe it or not. You would think that, okay, well, women are just not orgasmic. Actually, it's even deeper than that. Women aren't even having sex. You know, there's a lot of women. There's a lot of women who are in relationships, and I know them personally. I mean, I have hundreds of case studies where I talk to women on a, like, every day I have a certain amount of phone sessions because women who purchase the Yoni Egg, I give them a complimentary half-hour phone session. We get really deep into who they are, what they want, their intentions, how to use the egg, and all of that. And a lot of women, even if they are in a relationship, are not having sex. There's an intimacy issue that's, it's an intimacy issue, it's a self-perception issue. Again, we started the call with the eating disorder. I feel like we're going to end the call with the eating disorder. The self-perception is so strong when it comes to how we relate intimately with another soul. You know, another soul.
Right, and this is such a... Sorry, I'm just... No, I'm getting passionate too, so just keep on talking and then I'll go.
So, women, so I'm going to wrap it up by just giving you some ideas and some ways to really heal this. So if you're one of these women who really wants to become more orgasmic, you know, really revitalize your relationship, maybe in a great relationship, you just don't know how to fuel it and you want to, I highly suggest you start yoni breathing. Yoni breathing is a very simple, very powerful technique that you can do to reclaim, reconnect with who you are. And I mean who you really are. I'm talking about who we want you to be. Who are you really? And your most empowered form. Who is that at your highest, most actualized self? Start yoni breathing. Get a yoni egg. Get it from myself or from someone else who can tell you as a matter of fact that this egg is safe. That's very important. That's number two. Number three, start connecting with other women and start connecting with the person you are in a relationship with. If you're not in a relationship, start connecting with other people who may have successful relationships. You know, really start becoming active in pursuing this higher self that you are. And, you know, number four, follow myself, follow Aurora. I mentioned a couple books on the call. I'm going to mention a couple more. So just to recap, Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. It's a 1,000-page encyclopedia of women's bodies, women's wisdom by Dr. Christine Northrup. Love her. Get the book. Number two, Shakti Woman. Love that book. All about the menstrual cycle. And like you said, Aurora, giving back to the earth, really ritualizing the menstrual cycle and fertilizing the earth more with your own life force serum. Number three, the hormone cure, all about hormones and, you know, what makes you a woman, feminine. Sexual teachings of the white tigress, female ejaculation, the G-spot is another one. And then conversations with God. You know, book two really talks about being sexually liberated and why it would behoove you to allow your sexual energy to flow more freely. I'm not talking about having sex with everybody. I'm talking about just the energy itself, letting it run more freely in your body, in your auric field, and maybe even in those relationships that are stagnant. So I'm going to end there with that.
Thank you so much. I love it. I love everything that you said. And to me, I'm like, this is what I call my work is my work, our work, is about reclaiming back our feminine soul pieces, these pieces that have been taken. And the truth of the matter is we're talking about you've gotten to a place of being dead. And when you're dead, there is no lovemaking. You know, lovemaking is a chore. And it's just a void of pleasure, life devoid of pleasure. And here we are with our feminine soul pieces. And the feminine, you know, what is feminine energy? It is Shakti, life force. It is the goo. It is the emotions. It is the sensuality. It is that connects me to you. It is the pleasure. And so we are rising that again. And so these are the activities. All the things that Ray said are things that can bring you back on path. There's so much more to, you know, there's so much more to it. Connecting to your blood, just as we were speaking about with giving it to the earth. There is getting back into ecstatic dance and embodied movements. And even yoga can tap you back in, you know. Just being an expressive person, getting yourself to write, to be creative. We could go down this whole line of what it means to claim back that life force that we have to. Because in our society, we're told that, like, oh, well, what's the purpose of art and creativity? We have work to get done. We have people to take care of. And we need to bring that back. So I really appreciate you speaking out all of this. And I appreciate, again, we were talking about the birth control and the disconnect. And, you know, when you were asking me about the spirituality of a blood and connection to the moon, I spoke about women's connection to the everything. And the truth of the matter is that when you're using these hormonal birth controls, you disconnect from the everything. You are now on a schedule that is a synthetic schedule rather than the moon and the collective energy. So you are now disconnecting from your gift as a woman, you know, and we are told instead, let's put a tampon in and let's work 9 to 5 and let's pretend that we don't have any problems. It would be better for you to go on antidepressants and clog that stuff up, and maybe antidepressants and birth control pills to stop your blood flow so that you can fit into this world. And then Grace and I stand up and go, no. No. Like, this world has to accept the feminine rhythms. It has to accept our cycles. We have to be strong in woman's power. And so I really appreciate that. And I want to share a quick story that I thought was really interesting. Talking on Facebook to a lover he was the first man I ever had sex with when I was 17, 18 years old. And it was funny because I don't even know if you could call it sex. I was on my way to college, and it was like 30 seconds of pain, to be honest. But I was talking to him, and I would have dated him if I didn't go away for college. When I came back from college to my hometown, he was actually already married with another partner. We were talking. It's been many, many years, because 10 years now, and he thought that my red tents was sexual-oriented because I talk openly about sexuality and we're related to the goddess, and sometimes men associate goddess with a sex goddess, basically. And it was funny. I was like, well, what do you think we do there? You think women get together and have orgies, or do you think that we get together and then we prepare ourselves to be sexual with men? And he just said, yes. I was like, okay. And I just kind of took that on as an interesting shaming, so just kind of owning it too, being like, all right, I've been perceived this way before just because of a misunderstanding from certain types of men and people in the world. But the women who I cater to, they get it. And but I want to continue on with the fact that he said, well, so you guys get together and you speak about your emotions, because that's what we do in the red tent. We come together and we actually speak about our emotions. It's not really about sex at all. But sex is related to emotional. Like, if you're emotional, if you're emoting, life force is able to move through. And he goes, well, we're trying to have a baby, me and my wife. They've already have a daughter. Trying to have a baby, and sex feels like a chore. And I go, okay, sex feels like a chore. Can you tell me more? And he goes, well, she won't let me finger her. She won't let me go down on her. She won't give me head. And she won't, like, I'm lucky if I get a hand job. So we had a sexy time date, and I lit candles, and I put flowers on the bed, and it still felt like sex is a chore. And I just had to take a really deep breath. I just took, like a deep breath, because it went from, like, straight from him being like, oh, you and your sex tens, to, and let me tell you about my life. And I was like, oh, my God, that's what's going on in the world. Like, these women who are married with babies, who are living the life that people have been telling me that I need to live, these women are dead. They're dead. They are completely. And I said, like, I asked him, I said, you know, do you know if she has any kind of sexual trauma? And he didn't know, because a lot of people, I mean, I have a word for this. I call it muggles, non-magic folk, and I don't mean it in a bad way. I just mean that there's a space of, we don't talk about the dark shit. We don't talk about the stuff we don't talk about. We just kind of say, like, I'm going to keep that buried in the closet. People who are like me, we talk about that right away, because that stuff needs to heal so that I can get back to being sexual. But, and I can get back to being expressive. But he didn't know. And beyond that, it also meant that you know, I was like, well, if you would like me to work with her, I would love to talk to her, because that's a whole rabbit hole of world work that we could do to get back to her connection to her body. But really, you know, she wasn't very open to it, and he's like, oh, she wouldn't be interested. She would rather, you know, live her life doing her womanly duty of having sex whenever she needs to, so that she can have another baby. And that's it. I just want to tell that whole spectrum of the story of being like, that's a snapshot of where we are, and that's a snapshot of why women like you and I, Grace and I, are out speaking, people being like jaw-dropping, like, wow. And yet Grace and I were just birthed into the world being this way, you know, and being like, okay.
But you know what, Aurora, every woman, and I know you already know this, but every woman has the capacity to achieve her full actualized self through really connecting to what makes her a woman, you know, what makes you a woman. And what makes you a woman is your womb, you know. It's part of the word woman, woman. It's your womb, you know. So we all have different levels of awareness and different levels of consciousness that we are birthed into the world with. But it doesn't mean that it's exclusive to only those who come into it with a more, realistic, you know, type of way. It's really for everyone, because, again, when I was bulimic, I don't know about you, Aurora, but I was very much disconnected to my body. And 10 years later, you know, there's a 180 backflip that I did. And so that's really representative of what every woman can look forward to. So, again, GracefulEmpowerment.com. If you really want to enhance your sexual energy, enhance your creative energy, orgasm is not just about climaxing. There's a lot more to it. Orgasm is a creative energy that induces a trance-like state for you, where you can actually create more things, you know. So it's a gift, and I would be more than happy to work with you. We have a team of women over here in the Baltimore, Maryland community area that would love to welcome you. And, you know, I do occasionally travel all over the country and do workshops in other places. So, again, GracefulEmpowerment.com. You can look for the Yoni Eggs there, Y-O-N-I for Yoni Eggs. Yoni Breathing, Y-O-N-I, Yoni Breathing. You can YouTube all of this. And other than that, I feel pretty complete, Aurora. How about you?
Me too. We had a beautiful show, so I really appreciate it. And everyone can contact me too at rredtent@gmail.com and www.rredtent.com. And this is Our Red Tent Radio, so listen to other shows. And Grace, I'm really appreciative of you. I think this is a really amazing call, and we flushed through a lot, and I'm happy to be a woman with you.
Me too, beautiful. Me too. Thank you, sweetheart. I love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye, everybody.